Hey, good evening. This is Gordon, W2TTT. This is amateur radio station Kilo 2, Bravo Alpha Romeo, the official station of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. This is Thursday at 9 p.m. on the Bergen County FM Association repeater, which they graciously let us use, and to whom we suggest membership as well. And this is the TechNet. The TechNet for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association is held every Thursday night at 9 p.m. as a service to the amateur community. You need not be a member of the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, but you do need to consider being a licensed amateur, licensed for the 2-meter band, and have an interest in the radio art or electronic arts.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay. The format of this net is pretty straightforward. It's a little different than the others. We collect your name, your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment for the net. Once we collect all those, we then go down the list of questions or comments, and we see what interesting topics we can cover. Okay. The role of amateur radio is to advance the technical aspects of the art, the operational aspects of the art, and to be able to give back to our communities as we are able. So this provides a forum for open discussion on virtually any aspect of amateur radio, because amateur radio and the related radio arts are pretty much by definition technical. So we're good to go on pretty much almost any reasonable subject, from ARIES to ZEP antennas, or maybe from ARRL to ZEP antennas, so, or what Zulu time is. So we've got quite a range of subjects we can bring up. We encourage you to check in even if you do not have a question or a comment, because that lets us know roughly who's listening, and you might be helpful without even realizing it in providing supplemental information to another amateur who has a question or a concern, or somebody on the net might know that you have a special or a gift that you weren't really thinking about that you can contribute, even if you had volunteered yourself. Sometimes you can end up being volunteered because we know something that you might have not thought of as being particularly interesting but directly related to someone else's question or comment. Okie doke. Before we start, Barra has other nets as well. Just a couple of things first. Our meetings are generally the first Sunday night of the month, and that is true this Sunday. We have a net at, we have a meeting, I should say, at the Red Cross Building in Ridgewood on Godwin Avenue. The meeting starts at 7:45 p.m. on Sunday, but we gather about 7 and have coffee and beverages and sweets and things like that. It's a lot of fun, just general banter, so we encourage you to come and at least partake of our friendship and fellowship, if not even join the club. We welcome you to come. We always have a lively program. Also on Sunday, I believe at noon, in fact I know it's noon, we'll have our fox hunt. And this month, as it happens, I am the fox, because with Noel and 2OEL, we managed to find the fox first the last time we had one of these. So this time I will be providing the fox. You would meet at the Westwood High School at noon, and that Westwood High School is on, I can't remember the name of the street now. Anyway, it's in Washington Township, though. Westwood High School in Washington Township at noon. Be prepared to have a 2-meter radio and some sort of directional antenna. If you also bring a 440 antenna, there'll be a supplemental fox for you to hunt down once you find the 2-meter one. So we encourage you to do so as well. And then afterwards, we all adjourn for pizza, which I believe the club pays for, which is kind of nice. In any case, On Monday nights, we have a 10-meter net on 28350 at 9 p.m., upper sideband. On Tuesday at 444 or 443-100, depending on which one's being used. On Tuesday, we have, again at 9 o'clock, a chat net. And on Wednesday night, again at 9 o'clock on this repeater, 146.79, we have another chat net on Wednesday night as well. You're encouraged to participate. Barra has other activities as well. They include field day and VHF contests and miscellaneous other things, test sessions and such throughout the year. And we also have, during the school year, on weeks when the school is open and not preempting us in any way, we have a kit night on Tuesday night, which starts about 7, again at Westwood Heights High School. Periodically, the club also has test sessions, also at Westwood High School, and they're usually on a Friday night, except on days when we have our May and October, I believe it is, Hamfest, in which case we have the test session on Saturday that morning. Okay, that was a lot to cover before we start the TechNet. So I hope tonight we have a great topic. I'd like to point out that we are in our second year, and that's kind of exciting. We started off the new year last week, and we had a guest appearance from K2RIW, Dick Nadel, who runs the TechNet on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. on 146.85 in western part of Nassau County. And he's somewhat the inspiration, at least to me, for this net. I'd like to thank the guys throughout the last year who've filled in for me, and also thank the officers and members, and even non-members of the club who participated in the net, or supported the net in any way, for their help and interest in getting this net going. So on that note, I would like to hear, if I could, from stations whose call signs begin with Alpha. Okay, nothing heard from Alpha. So how about, let's see, we'll do Kilos. Any station whose call sign begins with Kilo, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or none of the above.
K2BAR, this is KC2PYB. No questions or comments at this time.
Hey, Richard. Good evening to you, sir. KC2PYB. Acknowledge any other Kilo stations. Please call K2BAR. K2RIW. K2RIW, Dick, good evening to you. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
No, I don't, Gordon. But I'll be standing by. If you've got some extra time left over, I could contribute something.
Okay, cool. Very good. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KO2OK.
SL, David, no question.
Okay, I got two for the price of one on that one. K2DSL, David, and KO2OK, Bennett. David, I got that you had no questions or comments. Bennett, what is your status?
Just turned on the radio, Gordon. Just listening in. No questions right now. Thanks.
You sound like me. Who's flying up the stairs coming back from a wake. All right. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR. With your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
K2BDU. Helmut. No questions.
Good evening, Helmut, K2BDU. Good to hear you. Anybody else? Okay. Stations whose call signs begin with November, please call K2BAR.
N2OEO.
Yar, this is N2ZZK. No questions at this time. No answers.
Okay. N2OEL and N2ZZK, got you. And
Anybody else? That was a November call. Please call KTBAR.
One question from me.
So noted. Thank you. Any other November stations?
And that's 2K. No questions at this point.
Man, we gotta have questions. We got one question. Okay, well, better than last week. All right. Thank you, Jim. Good evening, Mr. K. Good to hear you. Any other November stations, please call KTBAR. All righty. Let's see now. Whiskey stations. Any whiskey stations, please call KTBAR. With your call sign, your name, whether or not you have a question or a comment.
K2GCL. Repeater.
This is W2JEK. Don, with a question.
Good evening, Don. W2JEK. Got your question. Anybody else? Okie doke. Any other stations who might be late checking in, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment or not. Okay. Very good. Well, we have two questions, and that's exciting. So let's roll with that. N2OEL, your question, sir. K2BAR. Go ahead, Noel.
Okay, we got a two-part question. One part actually is for Helmut, and one part is general. We made four tape measure beams at Kittenai on Tuesday. At the time, I had asked Jim Joyce if he had any ideas for making a inexpensive attenuator for use during the box hunt. He handed me a bag full of resistors. I have an attenuator. I handed the bag full of resistors to Helmut. So question number one, what's a quick and easy way for Helmut to make an attenuator for use with a beam that is together as you know, a piece of RG 58 BNC connector on the end, and he's got a bag of resistors. The second thing is, somebody had said we could use a potentiometer, but I don't think that has enough isolation to actually use as a attenuator. So the second question would be, any ideas for a quick, relatively cheap, and easy attenuator? Bear in mind the beams cost $1.50 each, with the contribution of cables from Sony and somebody else. So we're not looking to spend a lot of money. Any ideas would be appreciated. This is N2OEL.
So I guess the high quality switches and the piece of brass that's been milled and then silver plated is out.
I have one of those. It cost me $10 at the Barra flea market. I would have bought more if they were available. However, what I'm thinking is something that costs, you know, a couple bucks, maybe some technique, whatever. These new hams with their inexpensive beams, which worked very well because you and I used one of the same things. The only thing that we had different was ours was made with plumbing pipe, and the ones we made were made with pieces of wood and, you know, scavenged materials. However, Bennett tested it, and it had a 1.8 SWR. Should have a reasonably good pattern. Back to that, and to OEM.
Well, I guess the first question would go to Helmut. Helmut, what were you able to devise from the bag of resistors? I think that's basically what Noel's question is.
Hey, A2BDU. Noel, I haven't used any resistors, and I will bring tomorrow morning to the coffee clutch, and maybe somebody can pick them up. But my antenna is completely ready, even with an adjustment, if possible. Even painted, Noel. How you like that? So I'm all set, and I bring you resistors tomorrow morning. Over.
Those are Mr. Joyce's resistors, and you should ask him.
Mr. Joyce hasn't
I've been able to join us this evening. It's K2ZO. Is anyone planning to go to the coffee tomorrow, besides Helmut? Okay. Alright, so, can you use a potentiometer? Yeah, you can. If you put it in a metal box, you can probably get some reasonable attenuation. What you basically have to do is present something that's roughly a 50 ohm impedance on the input and output, and then, you know, have some sort of variable resistance, which would be that potentiometer between. I mean, it's not going to be a perfect match, but it really doesn't have to be. If you don't need a calibrated output, you can play some games with a pod in between two loads and kind of shunt it. It's not the end of the world if it's, you know, if it varies in resistance a bit. My guess is that looking across this group, Dick, can you give us a short thought as to how to use a single pot between two nominal 50 ohm, which means it could be anywhere from about 20 to about 150 or 200 ohms, how that might be wired up? I'm thinking 7-ins in my head here. K2BAR. Yeah, as I see it, Gordon, the part that you're trying very hard to do is to maintain 50 ohms in and 50 ohms out in the attenuator fixture. And that's not really a requirement. For a transmitter, yes, and you want to make sure you don't transmit it to this attenuator mechanism. By some means, you've got to lock that out, otherwise you can do damage to it. But a receiver is extremely forgiving. You can put a receiver into a signal source or an antenna that has a 1-ohm impedance or a 1,000-ohm impedance. You'll get a little mismatch as far as the energy transfer is concerned, but the receiver will be very happy and continue to work. Once you realize that, in order for the pot not to have a whole lot of stray reactants, you want to choose the smallest physical size pot you can get a hold of. Adjust it in such a way that the clockwise is going to be a higher resistor. In other words, the most counterclockwise slider position, that lead you're going to ground. The center tap you go to the receiver. The other lead of the pot will be the input connector. So it becomes a very simple voltage divider. And when the pot is all the way clockwise, the slider is essentially connected directly to the input source, except that it's got this little bit of a pot resistance and shunt. When you go all the way in the other direction, you've essentially shorted out the input of the receiver because you've brought the slider all the way to ground. And if you have a good physical layout, I'll bet you could get a healthy 35 or 40 dB of attenuation out of that, and a continuous change in attenuation in between. Just that the attenuation will move very rapidly as you move toward ground. And I guess you could use a logarithmic pot if you really want to get fancy. But that, by far, I think, is the simplest way to make a non-impedance match attenuator, which I think would serve the function for fox hunting. K2RIW.
Well, if you know Noel, the requirement is to accomplish the job by any means possible within tolerable limits of performance and spend no money, in fact, be paid for the privilege of using it. I think that's how it works. Is that right, Noel?
No. I'm just kidding. I do have metal boxes if anybody wants them. And I suspect in a junk box we could find some pots ranging in value from, most of them seem to be 5, 10,000 ohms. I presume that would be satisfactory.
Fine, if they're logarithmic, even better.
Yeah, they're volume control, so most of them probably would be logarithmic. Gotta figure out a way to do it and bring it to Kidnight. Hook it up in the cable, make it easy for the next one. Probably won't be able to do it besides this one. So, that's in that, and to you.
I've got a further suggestion.
Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, even though the pot itself won't give you tremendous RF isolation, if the connection to the pot, which is inside the metal box, is done by way of coaxial cable. In other words, you use the equivalent of a feed-through connector on the box itself and bring up to the potentiometer a coaxial cable, shield to ground in both cases. Cenotaph of the output goes to the slider. Cenotaph of the input cable goes to the top of the pot. With proper layout and shielding as much as possible inside the box of coax cable, a reasonably small potentiometer at 2 meters and even at 432 is going to give you a fair amount of isolation. 5,000 ohms is ideal when the pot is all the way cranked to full clockwise. There'll only be a 5,000 ohm resistor shunting your 50 ohm input and output connection, so to speak. So it'll create very little attenuation. In the other direction, when it's grounded, I'll bet you can get 30 or 40 dB out of it, and it'll be continuous. So coax cable's inside. And if you want to really get fancy, you could probably put the shields in between the pins of the potentiometer so that the signal can't hop directly from one to the next, if you know what I mean. That would be the next step of improvement. That could all be done with simple pieces of brass or tin, K2LAW.
K2GCL, repeater.
Sure, if it's a metal pot, you just tin the casing and then tin some brass and just tack it on, you know, kind of melt the puddles of solder on the tin surface and just smush them together to provide little isolating elements between each pin. That would probably work very well. Pretty cool. Alrighty. Noel, does that answer your question?
Yes. Looks like it would be something for the next shotgun, not for this shotgun. But I luckily have a bunch of metal boxes, and I can contribute to the effort. Just got to go look at my jump box and see what I have in the way of pots, measure them, pick something around 5,000 ohms. Maybe I could even throw a few switches in. I got some jump switches laying around that could add another few dB attenuation, you know, 20 or 30. I think we're going to need to go from 0 to at least 60 or 70 dB to make it usable for most of the fox hunting. If you remember, Gordon, you and I had 0 to 120 dB and 10 dB set, and it actually was very, very useful. I don't think we ever went all the way, but I think we were up there in 60, 70, 80 dB. Towards the when we got closer to the fox. This is N2OEL.
That's true. Well, that's exactly where we were. Is there anyone else who wanted to make a comment?
KA2BDU.
Go ahead, Alma.
Noel, I don't think we need a metal box. We could use aluminum foil. That would do it. Also, I hooked up already a pot from a small car radio. And here's a question maybe for Mr. Dick. I put it in series with one of the leads instead of the cross. And it creates a resistance. I wonder if that would work. Over.
Dick,
yeah, if you added a variable resistor in series with, let's say, the antenna lead, without a doubt, you'll get some attenuation, but I don't think you'll get anywhere near as much. It's worth an experiment, but a real potentiometer where the slider goes to ground is going to give you a lot more attenuation, in my opinion, a lot more dynamic range. Whereas in series, there are some receivers which have a fairly high input impedance. When you look at all the specifications that ARRL does on their ham radio equipment, they read all kinds of things. No one ever measures the input impedance of the receiver itself. And in some cases, that could be kind of high, and the receiver would work very well. Some particular field effect transistors that are the low noise front end of a good receiver have extremely high input impedances that are partially matched, but the best noise figure occurs when you match for a fairly high impedance. This is one of the funny things about FETs. So, I won't say it won't work. It's just my gut feel that it might not work quite as well, Helmut. Over to you, Gordon.
Helmut?
I'll re-fly it out on Sunday. There's nothing I can lose, only gain some information. And since most of the time we are receiving, it may not damage my little heli. And thank you again, Mr. Dick. I enjoy your lessons on Sunday night. Back to net to board.
Yep. Just wish 85 had a better signal in my direction, because very often I need to be other than in my ham shack or my car, so I have to go all sorts of contorted ways to hear the net, and I usually can't get back in. But anyway, enough of that. Okay, very good. Any further comments on the subject of attenuators, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, it's Oya.
Good, well.
One other thing I investigated while I was searching the net, what the gentleman did was make, using a BNC chassis connector, a barrel connector, and a PL259 body. And what he wound up doing was he soldered a piece of wire, insulated the end of it, and inserted it in and out by simple fact of screwing the PL259 connector onto the barrel connector. He claims he can get 30 to 40 dB of isolation by using the piece of wire against the center conductor of the barrel connector as a, in effect, a gimmick capacitor. And it seems to me that if you put something like that on the metal box as your input or output, you could easily get another 30 or 40 dB. And between the two, get up into the range that's useful.
It's an interesting approach. So, by basically moving the wire back and forth, he can vary the attenuation?
Yes, it would be in series with the input, and the outside, of course, would be grounded. And if you mounted it on the box, it would be grounded to the outside. And they claim, I think, 30 or 40 dB. It's on the internet. There was a search for attenuators on Google for box hunt. So it was one of the things that came up. We didn't have enough parts to make one, because I didn't have the BNC chassis connector. Otherwise, we would have built one at Kitnight.
Yeah, okay. Very fine. We should consider that as well as at Kitnight. All right. Any other topics related to attenuators, please call K2B Air. Okay. Well, that was very instructive, and guys, get busy. You got a couple of days to throw something together, and you can try it out on Sunday at the transmitter hut. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Okie doke. On that happy note, our next questioner is going to be Don, and before I turn to Don, I just want to see if anyone else wants to check in, and whether or not they have any further questions or comments for the night, please call K2BAR.
KC2CHB.
KC2Tango Hotel Victor, your call sign, probably your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
KC2CHD, this is Tango Hotel Delta. No question or comment, just checking in, listening to the net.
Okay, your name, sir? I think you need to let, you have to key up the radio and then find out what's going on. So try it again.
East Go with Sarah in the high school, and just listen in.
I'm sorry, I doubled with you. Your name again?
Name is Harold, new licensee. Just got general class at the high school with Sarah, and listening in to the net.
Harold, welcome. Welcome, welcome. We're going to come back to you. We always greet new hands. Congratulations on your new call. That's excellent. Alrighty, any other check-ins for that before we go to Don's question? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, Mr. Don, W2JEK, your question.
K2BAR and the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody.
I was given a Uniden shortwave AM/FM radio. It's a CR2021. This is one of these digital radios that has a 150 kilohertz to 30 megahertz digital range. It also has an FM range of approximately 87 point something to 108. And the FM works. And the AM and the C, it is a three-position mode switch. It's actually push buttons on the front panel. One is FM, and everything works great there. But you go to AM, or you go to the AM single, or to the single sideband mode, you get nothing. However, when the AM mode, if I tune in WABC, my S meter, or it's not a meter, it's in a, some kind of an indicator, let's call it that, indicates a full scale. If I tone off frequency, the scale naturally goes down. So I know I'm receiving that far into the radio. And I've gotten it to the point where I've sprayed that switch with a good bit of contact cleaner. It doesn't seem to be doing the trick. And what I'm trying to do now is find a place to get a manual on this thing. It is this model I was taking is a Uniden CR, like Charlie Romeo, 2021. And it is a practically identical radio to the Radio Shack DX400. And this one is a good online source for a manual that could help me out with this problem. Back to net.
K2KCL repeater.
Okay, very good. Anybody have any comments about the unit in HM? General coverage radio. Anybody have a comment? Alrighty. Well, that makes it a little more interesting. Don, I'm just kind of curious, before I get busy, what have you found on the internet?
I got a couple of, I was looking for a free download actually, but I don't see anybody in the free download business.
You mean you saw nobody in the free download business or no one in the free download business with that manual?
I don't think I saw anybody with the free download business at all that I know of. Over. I'm not into that thing with the manual much.
Okay, well, maybe some of our gnomes can go off and look up the CR2021. He also said it was the Radio Shack, what, 400?
DX, like Delta X-Ray 400. It's the only difference between the two radios is the Radio Shack has an actual analog S-meter, a real honest-to-God S-meter, whereas they have the an indicator, a bunch of LCDs, I guess you call it, a bar graph. Bar graph would be the best word for it, type of S-meter. Single strength indicator on the CR2021.
Okay. I think we're going to have to take that as homework at this point. I'll start looking as we continue with the net, see what I can come up with. That's a non-trivial request, apparently. You've done the basic searches, so we have to dig a little deeper. Not a problem. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments, questions, confusions about this general class of receivers? These very nice little consumer general coverage shortwave receivers.
KA2BDU. I do have a question. Over.
Sure, go ahead.
On my Collins 75S and 32S, I'm not able to tune it on 75 and 80 meter. Any idea what I do wrong? Over.
Well, are there, it's kind of a different chain, a different line of questioning, but okay. Do we have, let's see, when you're trying to load that, what kind of antenna are you trying to load it into, helmet?
I have tried a vertical and or horizontal, and I get a pretty good signal on 10 meters and 20 meters, and I can load it up, but on 75 and 80, it just doesn't want to respond.
Have you tried the radio into dummy load?
Absolutely, that's always my first step into the dummy load.
And it doesn't work there either. Okay. So, what does the manual tell you the normal expectations for the transmitter? You know, on the 32S1, what are you expected to see in the way of current readings, things like that, just using the front panel?
I should have always around 40 milliamps, and which I do get on the other band, but on the 80 and 75 I don't get any reading.
Okay. So, and the receiver doesn't receive on that band either?
Reception is very good on the receiver. But I have it hooked up in the transceiver mode, and in the receiver controls the transmitter. So that's how it is hooked up. Over.
Okay. So you're able to... All right. So I'm trying to remember now on the 75S32S series. They could switch VFOs back and forth. Do you get the same, can you receive good signals on all bands using either as the VFO source?
Affirmative. Good reception on all bands. Over.
Okay, that's not what I asked though. The 75S is working fine, but when you try, do you have it set up in transceive mode such that you can use the 32S's VFO to drive the reception of the 75S receiver?
That is how it is hooked up now, yes.
Okay. And so the receiver is working fine. But when you go to transmit, it doesn't matter which VFO you're using, the 75 or the 32S's. When you go to 75 meters, it all goes to hell in a handbasket, but everything works fine on 10.
Correct.
Seems to me that, you know, I'd have to look at a block diagram of the transmitter, but I would look for a component that is, or either a component or an element of a component, I'm thinking of like a tapped coil or something, or a switch, like a band switch or something, that perhaps is not kosher on 75 than it is on 10. That'd be my first hunch for debugging.
I may take it again to Kidnight also. I think that might be too complicated tonight, and without a wiring diagram, it's tough to diagnose. So thanks anyhow. Over.
I think it was a comment or a question. Somebody else?
Yes, W2JEK. I'm just wondering how much, if you have grid drive to the final on 80 meters, where you compare it, let's say, to 10 meters or one of the other bands, could be that something prior to the final is not giving you grid drive. That would be one indication. I would think if something else failed, like Gordon says, a coil tap or something in the final of the thing, those usually have something like a PI network in essence. Maybe the coil tap for the 80 meters part, something open there possibly. Or another thing they have is for the loading capacitors. When you get into the loading, just as my Johnson Ranger is, you have various capacitors that you have to cut in for variations in the loading, and could be some of those are not functioning. But not without a wiring diagram, it's hard to show the trouble like that. Back to net.
Helmet.
KA2BDU, I realize we cannot fix it on the air. And Joe has a couple of good tips, because I did have to replace a couple of capacitors on the receiver already, and the unit hasn't been used, for 40 years. So that might be a good tip. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, gentlemen, and I guess that's all the questions I have on my radio. Over and out.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, very fine. Okay, I found a reference to who you can ask for, at least as of 2003 anyway, 2004, for an electronic version of this realistic DX400 manual. I simply Googled DX400 manual, and let's see, okay. Gary_DE_Ham@hotmail.com. So Gary D. Ham at hotmail.com. I guess the guy's name is Gary. He can probably provide you with the DX400 manual.
Hey, run that slow by. I want to copy it again, please. Write it down.
His saw has an owner's manual. The owner's manual. Which is half the battle, is because I think Radio Shack used to include schematics in their owner's manual. So it was Gary, Golf, Alpha, Romeo, Yankee, _, Delta Echo, _, Hotel, Alpha, Mike, @ hotmail.com.
Okay, QSO on that. I do have the so-called owner's manual with this radio. It does not have a schematic. It's just a about 3 pages of how to run the radio and about 5 pages of how to deal with shortwave propagation. So it doesn't really tell me too much. But two things that I need for this is first maybe a schematic, number one, and second, the something to tell me what's what on a PC board.
Okay. I'm also surveilling for the unit in CR2021. This is a second shortwave receiver question I had today. I had one this morning. Someone was mentioning, it was Jack Skelly, A2SST. He was talking about the Sony, what was that model now? So I want to say it's 2021, but that's not right either. Anyway, that was another nice radio, big time for a world band radio. Alrighty. I would start with that, and if I come up with more, we'll figure out what to do. Anybody else have any comments, questions, or confusions? Please call KTBAR. Alrighty. Well, I think tonight I'm going to take the opportunity to have a short net, if you don't mind, unless someone has a real pounding question, because I got to be up early for various things. One of the families that's close to ours lost their grandfather, so been running back and forth for the wake all day, as well as work. Going to the funeral tomorrow, so it's kind of busy. So anyway, we've got a busy time, to say the least. Any other questions, comments, or confusions for the map, please call KTBAR.
N3CRT.
Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't with the net for most of it, but I was over decoding telemetry from the satellite Delphi C3, and in one pass I got 144 packets. That's pretty good. I'm getting better and better at it. And when I was passing my previous record of 36 packets, I was cheering and I was just letting the computer do its thing, and I was cheering it along. It's kind of funny, kind of geeky, but it helped them with their experiments, and then hopefully we'll get a nice linear transponder out of it, sort of like AO7, working in the daylight. So that's all I've got. Good to hear people in here. This is M3CRT.
Okay, just a couple of notes. Good to hear you. And that sounds exciting. So which bird was this?
It's called the Delphi C3. It's made by the students at Delft University. I think that's in the Netherlands. And it only works in the sun. It doesn't have an onboard battery. But it's been pretty reliable. As soon as it exits the eclipse, it comes right up and it's nice and loud. And you can decode, you can listen to it on the vertical, pretty much. And the two downlink frequencies to listen on are 145.930 and 145.870. Those are the two telemetry downlinks. And 930 is their backup, but that's been coming on pretty regularly. I think they're going to try to switch it over with some programming to 870. Apparently they can set some settings that survive through the eclipse. It's not a complete dead boot from when it comes into the sun. But I can dig up a web page, or you can just Google Delphi, DELFI-C3, and there's a page, and they've got software you can use to decode the telemetry.
Yeah, so the website, if you just Google DELFI-C3, you will find that. And you can download the software and just, you know, run it through your sound card. It's nothing extravagant. You don't need to even, if you have a microphone in your computer, you can probably copy the telemetry that way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, the trickiest part about it is that the way that the signal, that the audio decoder locks onto the signal is, of course, you have the Doppler shift as the satellite is going by you. So, on my computer, I use a satellite tracking program, and I tell it what frequency the satellite is transmitting on. So it'll send corrections to my radio, and every 300 hertz of error, it changes frequency. And there's still a little bit of difference between my capillary and elements for what the computer is looking, where the computer thinks that the satellite is in the sky and where it actually is, because that makes a difference when it comes to the Doppler shifting. But it's pretty reliable. As time goes on, they'll correct the elements even better, and it'll be locked right on there, and I won't have to touch a thing. I just tune it up and tell my computer to go, and it decodes everything. And I make a recording of it, too. I make a recording and a text file, and that stuff is on my website again, n3crt.net/DMSAT, and then /Delphi C3. But I have all my audios there on my AMSAT directory, N3CRT.
You want to repeat that directory one more time for people a little more challenged?
Okay, my website of all my AMSAT-related audio and telemetry and text files is, my website is www.n3crt.net/ AMSAT/, and just hit enter, and it'll come up with my directory listing. I don't have a fancy web page yet, because I keep adding so much stuff to it, it's hard to keep up. So it's easier just to have the directory listing, and people can click and find what they want.
What? Funded. It's very good. And you can get the orbital elements online, and you can also go to the AMSAT website. I think they have a thing on their website. Go to AMSAT.org. They have a thing. I think you enter your position or roughly where you are, and magically it'll figure out, you know, when you should expect to see a satellite, when you expect to lose it, and how high in the sky and what direction it is going to be. Kind of neat. So you look up Delphi, D-E-L-F-I, C3 satellite, and you'll be good to go. And you can use the software, which you can download on the sidebar of the Delphi site. And it is the University of Delft. Is the University of Delft or is it Delft Technical Institute? I forget, but anyway. Either way, it's very cool. Thank you, Charlie. Anybody else have any jewels of contributions for tonight? This is K2BAR.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, anybody have any questions or comments for the net before we secure? I have a couple of announcements and I'll secure. Okie doke. Well, quick reminder, Transmitter Hunt is noon on Sunday at Westwood High School in Washington Township. 12 o'clock, talk in to the event is on 14679, this repeater. And we'll announce the transmitter frequency, the rabbit frequency. Once you get there, just a reminder, we'll have a 2-meter rabbit, and then once you find the 2-meter rabbit, you'll have an opportunity to find a 440 rabbit as well. So, feel free to bring your stuff. It should be entertaining. And last but not least, we have a Barra meeting on Sunday night, same day, and that is at 7:45 at the Red Cross Building in Ridgewood, and it's in Godwood Avenue, and we gather about 7, so come, enjoy, and I'm sure we have an interesting program this month. So, any other questions, comments, or confusions before we secure this? This is K2BAR.
Yeah, KC2CHV, first time listening to your 2-meter net from Oakland. You guys are great. I liked N3CRP's comments. Pretty smart young man. I used to work for Siemens doing military aircraft communication. Sounds like that's what he's doing. Anyway, back to that.
I was going to turn it to you, but that's great. Thank you very much, Harold. And don't be a stranger. We welcome you. Hopefully you can join us for one or both events on Sunday. The Sunday noontime event, rain or shine, will follow with pizza. So come along, bring your appetite. And heck, if you've got family members who want to come along, want to, you know, expose them to the joys of transmitter hunting, that's a lot of fun. We can always team you up with some other hams if you're not ready to go. And have a great time. And since you're coming from Oakland, you'll have no trouble getting back to your vehicle if you jump in somebody else's or they jump in yours, blah, blah, blah. And I do know we have pizza. I'm going to talk with Tony as to how that's arranged. Actually, maybe Jim, do you know? I have the pizza parlor identified and such. My question would be, how do we arrange for payment for this adventure?
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, well, hopefully Tony will be there. It won't make much difference one way or the other. We'll pay for it, make the bill, and whoever pays will be reimbursed. Tony will probably be there. It doesn't make any difference. And, yeah, not a problem. Of course, you're not willing to reveal which pizza joint it is, question mark.
Absolutely not, but it will be one of reasonable economy and good proximity to where the location of the Fox is going to be, and
All will have a good time. It's not a fancy place, but it's a good place.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I'm sure, and it doesn't make any difference if anybody wants to show up, whether they have equipment or not, or have ever done it before or not. It just doesn't make any difference. There are several, we're all sort of in the same boat. There's various equipment around if you want to borrow somebody else's, or we can just you know, make up some teams. You know, it's all very ad hoc when we get to the high school. The parking lot, same location as the flea market, and also the kid night. And we'll all get together and figure out who goes with whom, and I'll take a first bearing. And it was really kind of funny. For years, we had one team who's no longer in the country, who inevitably would start off pointed in the other direction from everybody else. I'm not sure just what that was all about, but they always got there eventually. I think they saw the wisdom or error of their ways. They finally got there. But no, we yeah, it's a team effort and friendly competition, and it's okay.
Yeah, just an FYI, I showed up with my handy talkie, a bunch of cable adapters, and no real antenna, hardly for the purpose. And Noel was paired up with yours truly. We used his antenna on my radio, and my first time out, you know, I found Jim. Rather efficiently, I'll point out. Not as efficiently as I would have liked, however. But it was a lot of fun, to say the least. And I think this one will be, too. just evil. Anyway, there's nothing weird about this one. You have to think outside the box, big time, because I'm doing it. So, you know, you're not going to be able to drive up to my vehicle and go, there he is. Nah, not going to happen. But you won't have to sit there and, you know, climb poles or, you know, bring a shovel or anything like that. I've heard some really weird stories. We're not in that mode. This is a pretty tame adventure. So, don't you worry. We got you covered. All right. So, let's see. I think that's it. Any other questions about the transmitter hunt or the meeting on Sunday? Please call K2BAR. Okay, any last comments of general nature, please call K2BAR. Okay, well, the station would like to thank Richard, K2BYB, Dick, K2RAW, K2DSL, Mr. David, KO2OK, Mr. Bennett, K2BDU, Mr. Helmet, for his question, and to OEL, Noel, for his question, and to ZZK, and S2K Jim for his comments and support, W2JEK Don for his question, K2DHD, welcome to Ham Radio, Harold, and hopefully we'll see you at some point this weekend. That'd be great. And Charlie, for your contributions on the satellite, on the new Delphi C3 satellite, thank you very much as well. This is Gordon, W2TTT, securing K2BAR and returning the repeater to normal. I'm sure you. Thank you very much.